may have hit the stores this past weekend, or you may still be waiting to take care of your holiday shopping. Today is Cyber Monday, the day that online retailers are attaching the sale tags, and our experts are back in the house to talk about great high-tech gifts for the holiday season. We'll talk about a new gadget to help you better monitor your driving habits, and another one that is, get this, a computerized credit card. The experts are Dustin Jacobson. He's Chief Strategy Officer at Flat Square Technology Group. Dustin, nice to have you.
Great to be here.
Derek Moore is a computer software engineer at Multiservice, and Derek, nice to have you too.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What's this deal with a little gadget here, a computerized credit card? What's that all about? Derek, take that one.
It comes with a little device, kind of like the Square, which allows people to take credit card over the iPhone. This thing just scans your credit card into a little computerized credit card that has a rewritable magnetic strip.
Yeah.
It's got a single button on it, so you can like flip through all of your cards. It's got a little...
So it's all your cards on one device.
It's
a super card. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. What I thought was most interesting is how they could possibly like reprogram that magnetic strip each time. But you just flip through your cards, you label them dine, work, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Set it to the card and hand it over, and they swipe it like a normal card.
So you sort of program it yourself before you hand it over. Then.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Well, what an idea.
Yeah, I would.
It lightens your wallet, right?
Yeah, for sure. My wallet's pretty fat. I need to get one of those.
You mean you're a high-tech guy with a fat wallet? That doesn't work for me.
Yeah,
makes
I don't know
no
what's
sense.
Up with that.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I'm pretty
yeah.
cashless, though, so I need something like this.
We're all a little cashless, aren't we? I get that, yeah. Let's go to Dustin here. Your favorite from your list, Dustin, a motherboard Christmas tree. What on earth are you talking about?
It's got blinky lights, so what gadget guy wouldn't like a blinky light little Christmas tree? So it's basically a motherboard or a computer board, basically, that's shaped as a Christmas tree, and it even comes with its own 9-volt battery, and it flashes. So anything that has batteries and flashy lights has to appeal to the gadgets at heart.
Yeah, okay, and... Is that going to be in your house this weekend?
No, actually, it's not yet. It's on my list for requested for holidays.
I see. Okay. We also were going to talk about this paper airplane, this gizmo you can attach to a paper airplane that'll make it fly like forever, and it'll dazzle any 5-year-old in your world. Derek, is that on your list here?
It should be.
It should be.
I just heard about it just now. So,
Dustin, tell us about this. Yeah.
Well, it's... It sounds pretty amazing, really, when you think about it. But it helps, I guess, just drive the plane straighter. I mean, that's kind of the idea of its whole aerodynamics magic that this helps with.
Okay. Let me go back to the list you actually gave us instead of catching you cold like that, I think. Okay. How about there's the PlayStation 1 and the new Xbox thing here, Derek. Tell us about that.
Well, I guess it's been a long time since the consoles released anything.
It's been a bunch of years, like 8 years or
something, right? 7-8 years.
Yeah.
So I guess they need to kind of catch up with the PC market. They've been lagging behind for quite a while.
Hey, have you seen these new devices? How fancy are they? How much of an improvement are they from what people already have?
They're pretty nice. I think they both seem to fit with your components a little better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the shelf, they sort of fit in a little better. The graphics are better, mostly in background detail from what my eye can pick up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of fuzzy and blocky in the background, it's a lot more crisp, a lot more detail, if that appeals to you.
I mean, is it dramatic enough that a mom or dad out there should think, yeah, it's time to upgrade, or is it really not worth the bucks?
Well, that's the thing about this generation, is the last release... 7 or 8 years ago, the consoles really did catch up to and or surpass the PC market.
Mm-hmm.
This time, they didn't really surpass. They just kind of maybe caught up. If you look at just straight specs, a PC is still quite a bit more powerful, more memory, faster CPU.
Mm-hmm.
But the game developers were kind of getting sick of targeting modern hardware on PCs and then sort of like retrofitting to the old consoles.
Ah.
So this is maybe a move to appease the software developers almost more than anything.
I mean, would you recommend it? Would you tell a parent out there listening to this that it's time to go out there and upgrade? It's going to be worth the, $200 or $300 to get one of these things or not?
If it's got the game you want, sure. If it's if you're satisfied with your PS3 or your Xbox 360, maybe not yet.
Yeah. Well, why would it take so many years for these guys to trot out something new, given just how unbelievably popular these devices are? I mean, Apple's coming out with new devices every 22 seconds, it seems like.
Right. You know? Now, maybe that's why. Maybe they saw Apple sort of making so much money. You know, I think it's got a lot to do with the hardware itself. Like, and if you look at specs, these things aren't glamorous. They're AMD chips.
Yeah.
There's a small amount of RAM.
Dustin, what's your take on this? I mean, why would it take so many years to go out and make a bunch more money? I mean, it seems crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, they've got – and there was the PlayStation 4. I was just looking back up the price. PlayStation 4 is about $400.
$400.
The Xbox One is $500. But they have, similar memory, similar, kind of features and functionality, similar processing power, those kinds of things. Is it worth the upgrade? Maybe. If you have a PS3, there's certain games that play only on, the newer devices. So there's always that kind of issue. What you see really is a movement more towards interactivity. And what I mean by that is Microsoft Kinect, which has been out for a while. PlayStation now came out with something similar where it basically allows your body to interact with the video game. So I think what we're starting to see is more human interaction with these gaming consoles to make it more exciting. But in regards to why the wait, I think they also had to look at just the pure game support. So, with Apple, they have very kind of tight control over what games run in the store and whatnot. With this, they have, if you're paying $50, $60 for a game, it's a whole different economic system.
Mm-hmm.
So they really have to get the game development companies on board, because they're spending millions and millions of dollars to build and promote these games. I mean, you're seeing video game ads on TV in prime time. So they're spending big bucks.
Well, you guys aren't selling me on this, that this is something that you need to rush out and get. I mean, it doesn't sound like it's that whippy. It's worth 400 of my bucks right now.
And maybe it's not. Now, at 400 bucks, you could probably... You probably can't get a PC that would be equivalent to these things.
Yeah.
So if you want horsepower and that sort of thing, maybe this is an affordable way to get the horsepower.
Yeah. Okay.
If you don't want to build a big gaming rig.
Well, today is Cyber Monday. I mean, is there a place, a website that people should go, people like me who are looking to buy something for a certain son for this holiday season that he wants? Is there a website to go to where you can really get the best deals on Cyber Monday or not?
Yes and no. The thing is that most of the major news sites, so computer related news sites, so Computer World and PC Magazine and all those, they all have their own holiday gift guides. And within that, they kind of give you the best products. If you just go out to Amazon, you're going to be flooded with, thousands of items and not really know where to start. But I would look at some of the gift guides. From there, that'll help kind of weed down the list so you have a better idea of what you're looking for. And I've had several people ask, well, what's the best gift? And there's kind of two main components that kind of come into the equation. The first one is age of the recipient. And the second one really is budget. If you're looking at something under $50, there's quite a few things out there, in that $25, $50 price point. But you can't get a tablet for $50.
Yeah.
So, when you compare a tablet, maybe in the $200 price range, it's kind of halfway between a low-cost toy and an Xbox. So, it's tough to kind of justify an Xbox, if it's just, one person. But for the family, an Xbox or PlayStation or whatnot could be a bigger family gift.
Yeah.
But I usually kind of start there and look at a bunch of the gift guides. Now, the retail sites like Best Buy and others all have really good information around like help buying a tablet. To focus on tablets for a second, there's a couple main things that you should look for. What screen size do you want and what's the battery life? I mean, there's a couple main things to look for in each one of those in gifts.
Yeah. Well, you guys are sitting here with your Apple PCs sitting here right in front of you here, right? All lit up, looking so nice here in this holiday season. Okay, we're visiting with our techsperts this morning, Dustin Jacobson, Derek Moore. If you have a question about a good holiday high-tech gift, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, our email address, UpToDate at KCUR.org. Derek, tell us about this Nike and Fuel Band thing, sort of wearable technology you're talking about here. What is that?
Well, I guess there's a whole class of these coming out. Fuel Band is one of them, maybe one of the more popular ones.
Wristwatches we're talking about.
Yeah, essentially they're kind of like wristwatches. They're activity monitors, I guess. Some of them monitor your heart rate. The Fuel Band doesn't. It'll monitor like ambient light and accelerometer movement. But they kind of like the pedometers people used to wear that count your footsteps. Well, now they're counting your footsteps from your wrist.
Wow. I just heard a joke somebody say that all these new wristwatches are coming out and all they do is remind people just how good their smartphones are. That smartphones are way better than anything you can wear on a wrist. Have you seen anything that you can wear on your wrist that just absolutely knocks you out?
Unless it's maybe a smartphone, if you can wear a smartphone on your wrist.
Right. We haven't seen that yet, though, have we?
Well, Samsung, I think, has one coming out. It's an Android device that you wear on your wrist.
And you talk to it like Dick Tracy used to
do, I guess,
or something?
You could. I've seen it paired mostly with Bluetooth devices, so you can answer the call on your wrist and then, talk with the Bluetooth device stuck in your ear.
Okay, okay. Are you rushing out to buy a fancy high-tech wristwatch, Dustin?
Well, we have gone through probably four or five Fitbits. So there's kind of this whole category in the active lifestyle. So there's Fitbit, there's Jawbone makes one, there's one from Misfit. Obviously, the Fuel Band is probably the most popular. They're anywhere from $50 to $150, depending upon which models and features and whatnot you get. The biggest thing is waterproofing. because they are so small, we are on the third or fourth Fitbit because they keep going through the laundry. So you want to make sure, the Misfit, it's like $100 or so, but it's waterproof. So the more kind of water-resistant, waterproof device that you get, the better off it's going to be. But it is kind of cool because it's not just the hardware and the piece that you're wearing, but also all the software behind it. So tracking, how many steps you took and how many miles you ran and all that kind of stuff. I prefer really using my cell phone, which I know is not that accurate, but combine that with a GPS watch is kind of my preference for workout, so I can have my music and a GPS watch, which is going to be way more accurate than any of this kind of stuff. So I'm more focused on the distance and not necessarily tracking my activity through the day. But it is pretty interesting once you wear these, seeing how many steps you take, and especially if you're on a college campus. Just walking around from class to class, you could burn thousands of calories. So it is interesting.
Well, I walked here today. I think I burned a few thousand calories just getting down the hill here to our studios. Dustin, tell us about the Tetris alarm clock, which you describe as pretty cool.
Yeah. So the Tetris alarm clock, so basically it, of course, has the cool sounds that everyone loves, those 8-bit sounds. But what it does is actually uses kind of the Tetris figures to build out the time. So as the time changes, then it rebuilds the display, if you think about the Tetris game where it drops the blocks from the top. Mm-hmm. So it figures out, okay, it's an 8, so I need to drop, a couple small blocks to start and then a couple of big ones. And so it figures out and it's just kind of always moving, building out the time, which I thought was pretty cool.
Pretty cool. And are you getting one of those for Christmas?
That is also potentially on the list. We'll see if it makes the final cut or not, but that one is also on
the list. You're still pairing it here, like. Yeah.
Whether Santa delivers.
Yes.
Derek Moore, tell us about something called Bitcoin miners. You say it's for tech-savvy investors. What are Bitcoin miners?
Well, Bitcoin is a new cryptocurrency that's out there on the market.
And what is that? What's cryptocurrency?
Well, it uses all this really high-level math to ensure that you're the only person with this fake, imaginary, invisible coin.
Mm.
And you can exchange that coin, and then once it's left you, the math ensures that you don't have that coin anymore, and now they have it.
Huh.
So it's just all based around mathematics, something that's called hashing. And it's a peer-to-peer network, so there's no reliance on, a Federal Reserve or any central entity.
So it's literally a new kind of currency that some people use.
Right.
Some special people use, because I'm not one of them, it sounds
right.
like. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's a niche market right now, but, you know, there's different e-commerce engines online that have simple plugins so that you can tie into a merchant account and accept bitcoins for, you know, your wax candles online or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a real market around it. It made the news. A lot of people heard about some of the illegal websites that were accepting bitcoins. One of them was busted, the Silk Road.
Oh, God.
But that's just a small part of the economy around Bitcoin.
Have you used it?
Just a little bit. I have a friend that's a developer of the BFG miner that controls ASIC miner chips, and he might be a millionaire now. The data center that I used to work for, NetSolus, is now a major Bitcoin miner, hosting people's miners from all across the world in conjunction with Butterfly Labs here in Overland Park that's building efficient miners.
Is this going to become a big deal?
I think it's going to become real. It's had a few bubbles in its life, and maybe we're seeing the biggest bubble in Bitcoin yet, or maybe it will last. What's happening right now is the difficulty in mining Bitcoins is exponentially increasing. So we're seeing the price of Bitcoins also exponentially increase. In just the last 30 days, Bitcoins have gone from maybe $130 to now $1,300.
Wow, because you can't find them is what you're saying. They're scarce.
They're becoming harder and harder to mine. As more computational power enters the peer-to-peer network, it becomes harder to mine the next Bitcoin.
But what's the whole point of it? Why not just use the old dollar bill? What's the point of this?
Well, I guess getting rid of that centralized authority, returning
the Federal Reserve System. Yeah,
I guess so. Or you know, any sort of national or international clearinghouse.
Have you used it?
I haven't. I've toyed around with it a little bit, but the traceability is a big thing, and which is also appeals to the criminal side of it. But it's
meaning that you can track where the coin is.
Well, kind of, but the fact that no one else necessarily knows where the coin came from or where it's going. So it is with a credit card, everything's tracked, right? So every Visa knows everything, Discover knows everything. So there is some level of anonymity around that.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'm starting to wrap my arms around it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, the anonymity is tricky, actually, and Bitcoin is a shared ledger on this peer-to-peer network. So every transaction is actually tracked. And if you can tie a wallet address to an identity, then you know every purchase that account has ever made.
All right.
Which
All
got
right.
somebody busted.
Right.
Dustin, tell us about the Nerf in Sports Cyber Hoop Set.
Yeah, so this is kind of a fun thing. It's an old school, you know, everybody's probably seen them. It's like the little Nerf foam ball and a little backboard thing.
My son and I have played ourselves silly.
Yes. You see them all over the place. But this has kind of taken it to a new level in the sense of you can now use your iPhone. They don't have Android, unfortunately, but to do the scoreboard and the timer and the shot recorder. So you can kind of make your own little fun game instead of just saying, okay, you know, take the next shots and watching the clock. You can now use your cell phone now to manage all that for you. So I love, you know, pop a shot and that kind of stuff. And you can basically recreate that now with just an app and with this little, you know, $30.
There's no way it can be as much fun, though.
Right. It can't be as much fun, but it's for $30, it's as good as you're probably going to get.
Well, we're out of time. I want to thank Dustin Jacobson, Chief Strategy Officer at Flat Square Technology, and Derek Moore, who's a computer software engineer at Multiservice. Thank you both for the good ideas. Thanks for coming in today.
Sure.
Appreciate
it. Thank you
okay.
for having us.
Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. Tomorrow on the program, our political pundits discuss the latest in Missouri and Kansas lawmaking. Plus, we'll take a look at the political maneuvering behind a failed attempt to get a translational medicine tax established in Jackson County. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman, Denny Alexander, Beth Lipoff, and Cody Newell. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.